Recovery 101, hurrah, hurrah. Recovery 101, hurrah, hurrah. It's time for recovery, it's time for recovery. It's time for recovery on 101. It will be time to have some fun, hurrah, hurrah. It will be time to have some fun, hooray, hooray. With Mark and Shelly and Bruce too, we'll all have some fun on, we'll all have fun on Recovery 101. The Peanut Gallery will shout and scream, hurrah, hooray. The Peanut Gallery will shout and scream, hurrah, hooray. The Peanut Gallery will be there to shout and scream when we get there. And it's all time for Recovery 101.
Thank you to Bill for our marvelous Recovery 101 jingle. I've pulled that out of the vault. It's a cult classic. Recovery 101 does not speak for AA, NA, OACA, GAPA, SLA, SLA, ACRRR, MMDRA, HA, FAIR.
We don't speak for HA twice. HA squared.
Ha 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 ha. We don't speak for any of them, they're guys. Neither do we speak for the Anons. We don't even speak that well for ourselves. Welcome to Recovery 101. My name is Bruce, as always, with
Shelly B.
And Mark M.
Yeah, it never gets old for me, but no one else knows the joke there. So.
Because it's not a funny joke.
So, it's blazing in Southern California.
Cooking a bit.
It's been a wee bit warm. And you know what's funny? I can't seem to understand this. Because Shelly and I were talking about this a little earlier today and yesterday as well. So I'll look at like weather.com and it says, oh, today the high temperature is going to be 94 degrees in Covina. We hop in the car and it says it's 102. And I'm like, that's an 8-degree difference, it like right there.
Yeah, but the car's been sitting on top of a heat sink. All of the air around it is really, really hot.
Well, then I look at a thing online. And it's weather.com.
Yes.
And if you look at the daily, like the daily report for Dallas, it's like 94, 96, 96, 96. But if you look at it for the weekly thing, it's like 102 every day this week. And I'm like, that's not even close to the same. You know, I'd love to be a weatherman in California and just say, you know what, hey, it's going to be sunny today. I'll be right like most of the time.
Boringest job in the world, weatherman in San Diego.
Exactly.
Well, it's like the joke from the movie L.A. Story. Steve Martin's the weatherman. And he gets totally thrown off when there was a surprise low of 52.
Oh, yes.
And it was like a huge story.
Surprise.
He interviewed someone, you know, the man on the street interview, and she said, it was so cold, I brought the cat inside. And then Steve Martin looks at the camera and says, she brought the cat inside.
Well, my aunt and uncle live in a very small town in Northern California. Larger now than it was, but when I was a kid...
Because somebody moved in?
We'd go up there, and they had the Yreka, California radio station, which I think broadcasted from Etna or Fort Jones or something. And
somebody's basement?
No.
Like us?
One of the big
radio.
One of the big news stories, my uncle goes, watch this, and he puts on, it's like AM radio, you know, and it comes on and goes, hey, Mr. Jones's cow had a calf this morning. And I'm like, I'm waiting for the joke. And they're like, it was a bouncing heifer of however many pounds. And I'm like, oh, that's not a joke. And he's like, no, someone's cow had a calf. That's news.
That's the
and
story.
I'm like, now this, you got to remember, this town, they had a parade when they put in the second stoplight in town. And they had a parade when they put in McDonald's. Well, and they had a parade when they put in Walmart.
Walmart's a big story.
Well,
I can't believe they put a Walmart in for that little town.
I went. It was Christmas time.
Cornered the market.
It was Christmas time. And I went to the Walmart. You could see down the aisles. I mean, I had gone to Walmart down here like a couple days before.
Yeah.
There were thousands of people walking around the store. The lines were like 30 people deep at 25 check stands. And up there, I took my purchase. I walked straight up to the register, rang it out, and walked out. And I thought, they don't know what a Christmas rush is here.
Yes.
I try not to know what a Christmas rush is either.
I was trying to look and see what people's guilty pleasures were. There haven't been that many comments on that show yet. The one was someone's guilty pleasure was the song Come On Eileen.
Oh, that's a great song.
Oh, and I don't remember who said it. There was another one who said, I know something like, I know this song is horrible. You know, don't think of me badly, but my guilty pleasure song is Disco Duck by Rick Dees.
Sure.
Disco, Disco Duck. I mean, what a man.
Millions and millions sold.
I think one of my other guilty pleasure songs, I have it on my endless playlist at work, because every time it comes on, I just like start grooving to it. And it's a song called Party All the Time by Eddie Murphy and Rick James.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Party Mega all the likes time. To party all the time, party all the time, party all the time. And it's like, I'll be like, I said to someone at work the other day, I'm like, I'll give you $1 if you can name who does this. And the guy's listening to it, and he goes, I totally know the song. And he goes, I can't remember the singer. I go, not really known as a singer. And he goes, God, I can't get it. Have you ever noticed, though, that a lot of comedians seem to be pretty decent singers?
Sure.
Jamie Foxx. He did the whole Ray Charles thing.
Yeah.
Well, sounded great.
Then there is the Eddie Murphy classic.
Party in My Butt or something like that?
Boogie in My Butt.
Oh, Boogie in My Butt.
Put an elephant up your butt. Put a tractor up your butt.
I think the greatest Eddie Murphy thing is my name Velvet Jones. How would you like to make money laying on your back? Ladies. Or what was the one he had? Rick James, Hot Tub. Do you know that that was not even scheduled to be, like, they had, that was not even supposed to be a skit, but they didn't have anything to put in. They said, make up something. And he went and he did it. Oh, here you go. Here's a question for the week.
Okay. What?
Who is your favorite or least favorite Saturday Night Live character or skit or personnel?
Oh.
Because Shelley is not a big fan of the Saturday Night Live
at
all.
That's not true.
Anymore.
Huge fan of old Saturday Night Live, but of old SNL, and even some of the mid-range things, like I love the cheerleaders. And the Sprockets. Now is the time on Sprockets, Vinny Dance. That used to make me laugh. I cringe watching SNL now because it's so freaking bad.
There's some funny guys now.
I've not. The only thing that I have recently that I've seen, because you play it on the computer, and so I'll watch it. The only recent thing that I've seen that I thought was funny was the thing everybody blasted them for, and it was the heroin AM thing.
Oh.
The fake commercial.
Yes.
So clearly, my sense of humor is not in step with today's. But I used to like the buttwheat, Eddie Murphy's buttwheat.
Ote.
And I like that one. I think I'd have to go with the cheeseburger, cheeseburger, cheeseburger. No fry. Pepsi.
No Coke.
Jim Belushi.
Pepsi, no Coke.
Yeah. I love that. When I was a kid, I used to run around saying that all the time.
How about you, Mark?
I'm a classic guy. Dan Aykroyd, John Belushi, Chevy Chase.
I'm Chevy Chase, and
you're
not.
And Steve Martin guest hosting.
Dan Aykroyd.
Yes, Happy Feet. I love that.
Dan Aykroyd. It's the Bass-O-Matic. It chops, grates, and mutilates. That's good bass.
And Landshark.
Yeah. Well, see, now, while I love those guys.
It's not even that current, but once you got out of that genre and moved through the years.
Well, I'll give you an example.
There was one Alec Baldwin skit.
Oh, clearly.
Which one?
It's the skit.
Sweaty Balls. No, he did another funny one when he was the Scoutmaster, remember?
The gay Scoutmaster?
But, yes.
Sweaty Balls.
Go with Sweaty Balls.
Oh, yes, the other one.
There was Betty White did one.
The muffins.
And she had muffins. And they're like, oh, your muffins... not as crusty as I thought it would be.
Yeah. Yes, I like a moist muffin.
Well, now how about this though? Now, because you know, I mean, there's the classics, but see, I think there's classics, a lot of classics at other time periods.
Oh, Church Lady.
Dana Carvey was a classic.
Yes.
You know, Wayne's World and Mike Myers, those guys, was classic.
That was funny.
The copy guy. Hey, making some copies. Kapalaya. Copy master. Mm-hmm. The cop master. There was Will Ferrell and Adam Sandler. Those guys did classic stuff too, and they were much, much later. Will Ferrell doing Jeopardy, and the one guy, and I can't remember his name, Daryl Hammond, I think, doing Sean Connery. Well, Trebek. He's like, was that hard for you? You know, Sean, he goes, not as hard as for your mom. He goes, ask your mom how hard it was.
But Dan Aykroyd and Jane Curtin.
Oh, Jane, you ignorant slut.
Yes.
Point, counterpoint.
Well, and see, even to that, Jimmy Fallon and Tina Fey doing Weekend Update, I thought was a riot, too.
No, my favorite was Chevy Chase. I'm Chevy Chase and you're not. He was the best one of the whole lot of the news anchor ones.
Generalissimo Francisco Franco is still dead.
Oh, I got a guy from the old days for you. Father Guido Sarducci.
Oh, yes. Yep.
And then there's the guys that were like on for a long time that you just, they were kind of always there and you're just kind of like, Tim Meadows. And they always the joke. Tim Meadows not really on that long. Like he was on for like 6 years, which is still long, but you know, there's people that were on way longer than him, but it's like he was so nondescript a guy until he finally did The Ladies' Man, which yes. I didn't think was that spectacular,
yeah,
I got me some Cavathier, you know.
Yep.
Do you know there was a bunch of people on that you wouldn't even remember as being on? In the 80s, they had a thing where a bunch of people were out on strike or whatever, writers and this and that, and Robert Downey Jr. was on Saturday Night Live. Chris Rock was on set. And Chris Rock, he came back on like for the 40th anniversary or whatever, mm-hmm. and he goes, you know what's great about this crowd right here? He goes, we have a crowd of people that have produced the worst movies that Hollywood has ever seen.
<You know? laughs> That's true.
Molly Shannon, she's the one that would put her hands down her, up under her arms and go.
I didn't think that was that funny.
Yeah. Lorraine Newman.
Newman.
And
was
you know
fun.
What? I met her in person several times. She used to come in and rent videos at the place I worked in Westwood. Very nice woman.
You know what else she used to do? Or probably still does? She does Lisa's voice on The Simpsons. She's been doing it for like however long The Simpsons have been on. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. She's the voice of Lisa Simpson.
Are you sure?
Or maybe it's Bart. It might even be Bart. No, she's for sure on The Simpsons.
Okay, I'm not arguing that, but I don't think she's... Because I have a mental picture in my head of the girl who does that voice, and it's not her. And I can't remember her name, and it's going to drive me crazy. Look it up. I'm not arguing because I've seen her name in the credits, but I don't think it's...
We'll look at... It's Homer.
No. It might be Marge.
I don't know. I don't remember.
And then Gilda Radner.
Oh.
Yeah. Bill Murray. Dude, how are we forgetting Bill Murray? Bill Murray is in the... Made it into the new Ghostbusters movie. And so did...
Cameo.
It's a short part. I can't remember the guy's name.
Cameo.
It's killing me now. The black guy.
Garrett Morris.
No. No. Not from Saturday Night Live.
You mean Cats and Dogs Living Together. That guy?
That's Bill Murray.
I know. He said that too that when he was driving.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the black guy from Ghostbusters 1. And I can see him and I can't remember his name. Because he plays the father of, God, now I can't remember her name either. And she's a new one on Saturday Night Live. I kind of like her, actually. But she's a little gruff.
I'll tell you who I went and saw perform live in concert. Huge disappointment to me. David Spade.
And you know what? David Spade was in a bunch of movies because of Chris Farley. And he kind of played the straight man to Chris Farley because, you know, I tried watching one of his TV shows and I was just,
Chris Farley.
Didn't get it.
For that matter.
Yeah, Chris Farley was a good one too. And I'm a big Jimmy Fallon fan. I think Jimmy Fallon's brilliant on The Tonight Show. I think he's fantastic.
In a van down by the river.
Well, we didn't leave much room for people to talk about what they like about Saturday Night Live. We just covered most of it.
Yeah, we covered pretty much all of it.
Well, no, people will talk about what they like. Because I
except for the
still
modern
like
stuff.
Saturday Night Live.
You know what? Maybe some... I would like to know if anybody likes any of the modern stuff. Because the stuff in the last few years, I think, kind of sucks.
I like a lot of the
I
modern
think
stuff.
To be retired.
Compared to the
80s. Oh, my God.
The 80s to the 2010s.
Oh, my God.
What?
The guy.
What?
Phil Hartman. Did a he used to do one of the greatest Bill Clintons. I remember there's one where he goes into like the McDonald's and he's like, I feel your pain. And he's like, are those French fries right there? And he's like eating the guy's French fries while he's talking.
Was never really a big fan of this show.
Got killed by his wife.
Yep.
In some kind of weird like cocaine episode or something.
That's what I'm talking about.
Recovery 101. Recovery Bite.
Recovery should be celebrated. At my12stepstore.com, celebrate your life with the most unique gifts for all 12-step programs. My12stepstore.com carries a wide range of inspirational and program books, t-shirts, chips, medallions, 12-step jewelry, and so much more. For you or someone you love, visit My 12-Step Store in West Hollywood or shop online at my12stepstore.com. We ship to the world. My12stepstore.com, where love meets service.
You know what that means? That means, well, it's time for the boozy news and the news not fit for booze. Well, so that's right, everyone. It's time for the fantastic boozy news as presented by our newscaster, Shelley.
The crowd goes wet.
I'm moving a little
better. Is that the crowd?
But still, I don't want my knee to go wonk. Yes, that was the crowd. We have shout-outs to Fran, John, Lisa, Mark, Elizabeth, Carol, John, Joey, James, Dan, Randy, Bill, Natalie, Sally, Stryker, Dakota, Alexandria, Jack, Jane, Georgette, and Lee.
Wow.
The air conditioning is much better on this edge of the studio right here.
That's why I was freezing last week, because it's right on.
I'm okay with freezing.
Now, I must announce, it is the second annual Tiffany and Bob birthday shout-out. We did this 1 year ago exactly. They now have 8 and 9 years respectively. Tiffany has 8, Bob has 9. So happy birthday,
shout
Tiffany and Bob.
Out. Shout.
Do they ever comment
let
on the show?
It all out.
I don't think so.
Okay, Tiffany and Bob. You guys got some time now. It's time to get off the stick and start commenting on shows.
Yes, go on Podomatic and comment on a show.
That's right. At least on this one, because we gave you a shout-out. You can at least give us a shout-out.
All right. The first story actually is from Mark.
How do you out of wonderment, how do you know they're still sober and all that? Did they message back in or something?
Well, they're in the secret group.
Oh. You can tell how much I go to the secret group.
Yeah.
Okay, the first story is actually from Mark. Him. At the University of Exeter and the University College Hospital in London, researchers have found that when they use small doses of ketamine along with psychotherapy, it helps to treat addiction.
Wait a minute. Ketamine and what?
With psychotherapy.
To treat addiction.
Yeah, let's use drugs.
Or possibly, they only think it's working because their patients are all...
In a coma.
They're all high and passed out. So, I don't know.
Yeah, I was going to say, ketamine...
It's a horse tranquilizer.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's like...
Use it to knock out horses.
Yeah. Well, small doses. They're using small doses.
Well, yeah. Because if you use a horse-sized dose, that would be the last dose they got.
They have also found that... An antidepressant, which I can totally get because
you know what else I found? I found that people who smoked meth didn't smoke as much coke.
Yeah, well, that works really well. Yeah, you've been of the horse racing ilk at times,
I
right?
Have.
What is a good thoroughbred weigh? Do you think
2,500 pounds?
So you take the dose for a 2,500-pound horse, you give it to a 140-pound addict. What happens?
You die.
They don't run a mile and a quarter in 2.5 minutes.
Right. They don't. Yeah. They don't.
Ain't going anywhere.
And they don't
ever
do any more drugs either.
That's right. That's right.
Huh?
But
addiction cured.
But they'll crap in a stall for you.
Yeah. There you go.
All right. Fran sent this next story in.
Yay! Fantastic.
In Nashville, Tennessee. Nashville, Tennessee. Tennessee.
Nashville, Tennessee.
Yes. Two suspects. Let's see. Tasabi Edwards and Terrence Reams.
Okay.
Have been arrested. But now one of them was actually in Nashville, and the other one was, I think, in Arizona, it said. Because one of them was sending the other one marijuana.
What now they're both in jail?
Well, yeah.
He's like, damn, my connection on the outside is now on the inside.
The package arrived in Nashville. The post office apparently was alerted, or they thought it was suspicious or whatever. The police came.
Smelled like Christmas trees and skunks.
Basically, they had a canine there that sniffed out the package, went woof, woof. They opened the package and found 140 pounds of marijuana.
That's a
grip.
That's a pretty big package.
About, in Tennessee, that's about $500,000 worth of marijuana. Because in Tennessee, it's not. There's no medicinal. There's nothing. It's still illegal, and it's not a traffic. It's not like a misdemeanor or anything. It's an offense.
Especially going through the mail.
Yes, especially going through the mail. Yeah,
that's federal.
Yeah,
so
it makes it federal real quick.
What the police did was they taped the box back up and then followed the postman. And let it be delivered, whereupon they arrested Tasabi Edwards for felony drug offenses.
Wait. Whoa. How can you arrest the guy who's receiving it?
Because he
doesn't know what he doesn't know what someone mailed him. He'd just say, how do I know it's in that package?
It's addressed to you.
It's addressed to him.
So just to take this a minute. So if I put a gram of cocaine in a letter and I mail it to somebody, and it's addressed to them, then they get arrested.
Yeah, but you do too.
So, I could just mail. Well, yeah, still. So, if I don't like a political candidate, I could just mail them a gram of cocaine, and as long as I'm willing to take the rap, they go down too?
Yeah.
No, they get off. You take the rap.
Yeah.
That's true. The dogs are going crazy.
Yeah, so the dogs are going crazy.
Yes, you
someone's about to walk in. I guarantee it.
I hope they get in the right door. Okay, Elizabeth sent the next story in. Rock Hill, South Carolina. Oh, my goodness. They're going crazy. The dogs are going crazy. And we have a peanut
good friend of the show, Marty, just showed up.
Yeah, for about 2 seconds before he gets inundated with the cigar smoke and
oh
goes,
my God.
Oh, dying.
Yeah, he's going to say he's dying.
The angle of the peanut gallery sofa is not good.
Hi. You know what I love about that? You got to be like 6'4" for your feet to hit the ground on that. Marty's not that tall, so his feet go up. He reminds me of Lily Tomlin.
I can lay down.
He reminds me
could.
Of Lily Tomlin. What was her name on that thing?
Edith Ann.
Edith Ann.
I'm 5 years old. My name is Edith Ann. I'm Edith Ann.
Oh. I see that.
Wow.
He brought prezzies. Oh.
Stuff.
My.
I don't know what those stuffs are.
Ooh. What is that?
This is great for the people on the show.
Oh, nice. It's a microphone.
The golden microphone.
Hell yeah. He just held it in his groinal area. Which really makes me want to hold it more.
The golden phallus.
The golden phallus.
Very nice. Thank you.
So the news.
Goodness. Yeah. So Elizabeth sent this next story in Rock Hill, South Carolina. Daycare worker was arrested for... she is not arrested. Sorry, she was not charged. The police say they're not sure if anyone will be charged.
And this isn't a story.
However, it is a very weird story because an 8-year-old child at the daycare went home and told his parents that he was asked to pee in a cup. And he didn't know why. So his mom called the police. and the police called the daycare, and the assistant daycare of the director told them that her son had just gotten out of jail and was having trouble getting a job and needed to drug test, so she got the 8-year-old's pee to test for him. However, the police can't figure out what to charge her with.
Fraud?
Wow.
Well, they didn't actually go through with it.
Attempted fraud?
Stealing pee? I don't know. That's what the police, they are unsure if anyone will be charged.
Making an 8-year-old pee in front of you in a cup? I don't know.
It's
Megan's Law?
Weird and creepy, but I don't know.
Make them drink it?
Ew.
There's your sentence.
Really? Okay, Elizabeth sent a whole crap load of stories in this week. She was a very busy girl. Thank you very much, Elizabeth. Roger Mumma in Newport Richey,
Florida.
Thank you. Mr. Mumma, 29 years old, was charged with child neglect when several people noticed that he was walking down the side of the highway carrying a 6-month-old baby. Or a small baby. They later found out it was a 6-month-old baby.
It.
Well, he happened to be high on MDMA at the time when he was walking down the highway. He was stumbling quite a bit. And when the police pulled up, they have body cam footage, actually. The police pull up, get out of the car, and start walking along the side of the freeway with him, trying to talk to him, he didn't stop walking to talk to them. He just said, yeah, I know. People are following me. All these cars are following me.
Wow.
It's like, yeah, you're on the freeway.
Walking.
With a baby. They're not even sure whose baby it is.
Oh,
that's...
Well, that's a problem.
There was more to the story.
Yes.
Was he in
a
pirate outfit?
No. He kept looking around as though people were following him. He said, there's a bunch of cars following me everywhere I go, and I don't know what's going on. And he's, like, pointing to all the cars on the freeway.
You know, if he turned around and walked the other way, they'd all stop following him.
That's true.
They'd be coming at him.
That's true. The child, the child was turned over to CPS and to try to determine whose child it actually is because they couldn't get a straight answer out of him.
Maybe somebody traded him.
He's going to get kidnapping and all kinds of stuff on that.
Yeah.
And with an actual kid.
That he napped?
Kid, yeah.
A kid that he napped. Okay, we're going to skip this story because that's a can of worms and we're going to have to come back to it.
Oh, really? Now you got to do it.
We will. But let's get through the other shorter ones first.
Oh. Is this one that could turn into a topic? Maybe we should do it next show.
It's one that we already did a topic on.
Oh.
This is, Elizabeth sent this one out of Muskegon County, Michigan. And actually, I found this, and I think Fran sent a link to it too, but the link didn't go through. Three women left for a tubing trip down the Muskegon River.
I heard this one.
Down a what trip?
The Muskegon tubing. You get a tube at like at the dock at one end of the river, and you float down the river.
Oh,
and
I heard about this too.
They ended up being stuck overnight.
Downstream.
3 miles downstream. Because they thought that the river went in a circle, like a lazy river.
Like a hotel lazy river.
Yes, and they would end up back where they started and get back in their car and drive home.
Did it give the name of these girls?
No, not in the story. It doesn't. They were fine. They were found the next day. A fisherman heard them screaming and crying for help on the banks of the river and called the authorities who went and picked them up and took them back to their car. And you know, people are making fun of them. But I have I have to tell you. I wasn't laughing, actually. I can actually see how that would happen.
I cannot.
Okay. When I was a kid, and you've actually been with me on that one trip, we would go canoeing down the Little Miami River. You start at one end at this dock, and you rent a canoe. You go blah, 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 blah down the river. You stop on the bank for a little while, have lunch. Then you go down the river a little bit more. You get about 2-3 miles down the river, 4 miles maybe. And you stop, and a Jeep picks you up and tows you back up the river, basically. And you get back to your car.
Well, that's part of the service, yes.
Right. If they had heard of people tubing or canoeing down the river or seen it or anything, when they ask somebody at the dock where they rented the tubes, how do we get back? This person told them the river goes in a circle. He told them
that's
that.
Funny. That's funny.
And that's even better.
It. And if they had heard of their friends doing this, they may have assumed that that was how they got back to their cars.
Here's the problem.
So I can see how that would happen.
Anybody, though, yeah. Shelly.
What?
Anybody knows that a regular river doesn't go in a circle, because if it was like the Lazy River, first of all, there'd be a lot of concrete around. You'd be at a hotel. You can actually see most of the river coming around in a circle. The girl that just left in the tube a few minutes ago is already back around. This is a regular river.
The guy invited him to come back in time for the submarine races, huh?
Yes, exactly.
No. All right, well.
Were these girls all blonde?
None of them.
No.
Oh, because that's too bad.
Black hair.
They
all three of them.
No. They were just floating down the river on their tubes.
Black hair, all three of them. Moreno.
Okay. Elizabeth sent this story, and this is Carlisle, Pennsylvania. And let me find his name. Joshua, where was it? Gosh darn it. Joshua, no, the state police in Carlisle arrested a man who used embalming fluid. He sprayed it on his marijuana and then smoked it.
Ooh.
To get a little bit more high.
And he did.
He did. His first name is Joshua.
Is he alive?
Oh, Long. Joshua Long. Yes, he's alive. And I saw a picture of him, and yes, he's alive in the literal sense of the word, but I'm not sure there's a whole lot going on in his brain. However, he and his little friend, the brain that was in the embalming fluid that he stole to get the embalming fluid, that's his buddy.
He stole a yes. jar with a brain in it?
Yes, a human brain.
First name Abby?
Abby Normal.
Abby Normal.
Last name Normal. First name Abby.
Yes, his name is Joshua Long. And I can't see. He named the... Oh, here he did. He named the brain Freddy.
Oh.
And was having a you know, conversations with it. But he had to hide it from his aunt, who he lived with. So he was hiding it under the porch and siphoning off the embalming fluid as he went along.
It's really disgusting.
And she found it in its package, in its jar, under the porch and called
the
police.
What was she doing under the porch?
I was just going to ask that same thing.
Well, back east in Pennsylvania, because a lot of houses back there are way off the ground, you have an under the porch area, and you've got to like stick brooms and stuff under there to like be, in case animals make nests and stuff, you don't want them to.
Well, that's a good plan.
That's Midwest problems right there.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. So, yeah.
Yeah, we do that, and the homeless guys come out. What?
Actually, we'll be sitting out in the garage, and a possum will walk in.
He was charged with abuse of a corpse and conspiracy, and I'm not sure where the conspiracy charge comes from, but okay.
Someone helped him.
I don't know. All right,
the
now
brain.
We can go. Now we can go back to the can of worms.
Okay.
This is also from Elizabeth. This happened in Georgia. Story is about 2 weeks old. It sounds familiar because we've done similar stories to this, but. Can of worms time on this one. A Georgia mother, 35 years old, from Evans, Georgia. She's been sentenced to 6 years probation, a $600 fine. If she has stayed clean and completes the terms of her whatever, then she will have her record sealed under the Georgia First Time Offenders Act. What she did was to allow her daughter and the teenage friends to smoke pot and drink alcohol and play Naked Twister at her home.
And play Naked Twister.
Yes. And
how old are these kids?
Well, they were 16 and under. The age of consent in Georgia is 16.
Oh,
she actually also had sex with the 18-year-old boy that was at the party. And
well, there's no problem there.
Used used marital aids on herself in a little show for all the kids.
Wow. How come I didn't know any moms like that when I was young?
Okay. That's the premise. Let's add some other factors in here.
Oh, no.
Okay.
She is a Sunday school teacher.
Oops.
Very well-known Sunday school teacher.
Not anymore, she's not.
Yeah, not anymore, she's not. She's probably going to get kicked out of her church because it's that, you know, you're talking about the buckle of the Bible belt, so they're not going to be putting
up with
that.
Is there a picture of her online somewhere?
Yes.
Does she look like a Sunday school teacher?
Yes. She even has mom hair.
Not anymore.
And She has five children, aged 4, 6, 8, 10, and 16. The 16-year-old was the one that was having the party.
Okay.
Boy or girl?
The 16-year-old was her daughter.
Jeez.
She drank excessively at this party, passed out, and woke up to the 16-year-old boyfriend of her daughter in the act of coitus with her. Now, age of consent in Georgia is 16, so there aren't any charges going to be filed there. But her daughter's boyfriend
is having sex with her.
What?
So the 16-year-old boy is not getting charged with rape? She's passed out? What happened with that other guy? Remember the guy?
Yeah. In Georgia, apparently, there was no evidence that it was rape. And she's not claiming
it was rape. She was passed out.
Well, she woke up. And apparently, she didn't refuse him. So.
Oh, she woke up and said, ride me, cowboy?
Possibly. Now.
Ride me, sweet 16, cowboy?
One more factor to put in there.
Oh, my God.
All of this was discovered because this woman's AA sponsor called the police during what they call a sobriety session. That's what the news is calling it.
She did her fifth step and her sponsor turned her in?
Yes.
Oh.
Oh. That's right.
Get a new sponsor, Marty says. Wow. Yeah. Mm.
We were just talking about this.
We were.
That's why I said there are other factors involved here and why I wanted to do this one last so that we could discuss.
You know, I always wonder what people do today when they, what factors they enter into picking their sponsor. Because I've literally showed up in places where I did a 10-minute pitch to people who've never met me in their life, and four people come up and ask you to sponsor them afterwards. I think you got to put a little more thought into it, folks.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe.
Wow. You know, there's so much there.
I know, that's
to
the
go with.
It's like, wow.
That is.
Just a show
because
this,
we talked about it before. Again. It's like, what happens if it involves pedophilia and kids and things like that? It's like, and you know that the guy that you're sponsoring tells you he's a pedophiliac and he's going to his friend's son's friend's birthday party or something. You're
she got hammered.
Advise him not to go.
She got hammered at this party and was doing a fifth step with her sponsor.
No, the thing with her sponsor
maybe
happened
not
afterwards.
A fifth step.
She was arrested after
a little
the fact.
After or a lot after? Might be rushing through your steps, honey.
Yeah.
Okay, the party happened in 2015, so it's been about a year.
Okay.
Now, the thing is, the illegal parts of it, you know, serving marijuana and booze to minors.
Yeah.
But nothing other than that happened that is actually a crime.
Having to play Naked Twister underage?
No, they weren't underage.
No. I thought that 16, there were ones under 16, right?
Well, they were playing Twister, though.
Yeah, but I have a hard time believing that a 16-year-old birthday party doesn't have a modicum of 15-year-olds there.
She wasn't playing the Naked Twister. And
kids
were... But I don't know that kids playing Naked Twister together is because there's the age.
At her house, at the party she's throwing where she's giving booze.
She was spinning the wheel.
I don't know, but what she was charged with was endangering a child or endangering a minor, but it was for the booze and drugs, not for the other thing.
Yeah.
Sex
and you know what's crazy?
Left-hand yellow is going to make a really interesting
position. If
that
same thing had happened... And I can't remember which state it is, but if that same thing had happened in, like, Alabama, it'd be a completely different story because it's, like, age of consent's, like, 14 there.
Yeah.
In Vegas, it's 15. In Nevada, it's still 15.
Well, Georgia used to be 13, so they've raised it.
Yeah, so they've raised it.
Wow.
But that was during...
She was going off old rules.
That was during biblical times when people got married at 13.
But yeah, when I read that about that her sponsor turned her in, I was like, wow.
Yeah, that was. I'm glad you saved that for the end because that's like, really?
Because as a sponsor, that's not the kind of. Because remember last when we talked about it, I was like, oh, gee. When we were talking about somebody abusing like a 3-year-old, I was like, holy
mandated
crap.
Reporters,
and I was, and at the time, I was glad that nothing like that had happened when I was still a mandated reporter. I'm not now. But back then, oh my God, the conflict of interest in my brain would be intense. But this is somebody's fifth step. I mean, I wouldn't, as a sponsor, I wouldn't turn anybody in.
I'm wondering, do people own and run sober living facilities, are they mandated reporters? I don't know. Yeah, because our friend Marty is here, and he owns a sober living. I think you're a mandated reporter.
He's also a counselor, though. He's a certified counselor.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Certified something.
Yeah, I've been certified.
He's certified. Yeah. Him and Sean.
Yeah, we certified him a long time ago.
Yeah.
Okay, and that, on that little note there.
That little kerfuffle.
Yeah, that is the end of the boozy news.
Hey, everyone. It's Bruce from Recovery 101 Radio. Hey, I'm here to talk about my 12-step store. Let me tell you guys, my 12-step store is the ultimate place, online or in person in West Hollywood, to buy recovery gifts no matter what program you're interested in. They've got bling chips. They've got regular chips. They've got medallions. They've got books of every kind. They've got every kind of recovery gift you can even think of. This place is absolutely fantastic. Let me tell you something. A bit of every sale goes to sponsor people to get into recovery homes and sober living houses. It's an awesome place. RJ and his staff will take outstanding care of you. My 12-step store is located online, of course, at my12stepstore.com. If you'd like to go visit them in person, they're at 8730 Santa Monica Boulevard in the fabulous city of West Hollywood, California. You can call them at 310-623-1702. That's one more time. That's 310-623-1702. You should call them up. Do yourself a favor, and the ones you love, call my12stepstore.com.
Hey, I'm Dr. Drew, and you are listening to Recovery 101.
We're back.
Welcome back.
Howdy, howdy, howdy. So, Mark.
Yeah.
We have a topic.
We do have a topic.
We do.
Yeah. Amber.
Yay.
That's our Oregon connection.
That's right.
She's our new connect.
Yep.
So I used to have a lot of connects
in connect
Oregon.
Up in Oregon, yeah. So.
Yeah.
And they
said. Which city is she in again? Do you remember?
Oh, God. She just told me today.
She's
too,
up around Portland, right?
She is south of Portland, yeah. So.
Beaverton?
No, but somewhere between.
Aloha?
Somewhere between.
Lake Oswego?
Portland and Lake Oswego. Somewhere between.
Yeah.
There.
One of those areas right in there.
Yeah, some small town.
So,
but
she sent it in.
Conceding to your innermost self.
Condolences to my innermost self.
Yeah. For the abuse?
Yes. Yes. So this is like when you first discover?
When you first discover, yeah. Or when you first truly admit.
Yeah, I was going to say, because I think I discovered a long time before I truly admitted.
Yeah, I discovered I was an addict, I think, about the second or third time I used. But
God, do you remember? I remember this clearly. In the 80s, People magazine came out and it said, cocaine is not addicting. I said, great, I'll have some more.
Yep.
Can I have some more? I need a little bit more. I want some more? Give me some more. Just a little bit more. Because I know it's not addicting. I want some more. Mark, when you conceded to your innermost self, and you can tell us when that is, was it also when you actually got sober?
It was after I got sober.
Ah.
Because, I mean, I was one that I drank and used, and I did it absolutely, fully, completely, sold out to it, to the last drop, to the last line. And didn't know about anywhere to go or anything. I mean, I didn't know A-N-A-C-A, any of the A's.
Right.
A guy that I knew mentioned a treatment program that I was supposed to go into, a 30-day treatment program, and I passed on that the morning I was supposed to go in.
Yeah, didn't one of your friends
help you with that decision? Yeah, he talked me out of it, told me I was too strong for that.
Oh, yeah.
So, and I went to a meeting, and I went to an AA meeting that night, and I started going to CA the next day. And I would say probably after hearing stories in the rooms, when it finally dawned on me that, you know what, yeah, I had a problem out there.
Yeah.
I did not think I had a problem when I showed up. My only problem when I showed up was that My dad caught me stealing a bunch of money, and I was caught, and I had to do something.
I'm an addict.
Yeah, whatever, sure, great.
I'm an addict, yeah.
And so...
I can't control myself, Dad.
But it was never a problem. I was never one of those guys who wished he could quit. You know, I didn't... There was never a 5:30 in the morning where I wished I had never done it or wished I could stop doing it. Ooh. I just wished somebody would be answering their fucking phone so I could get some more.
Wow. See, I conceded, well, it's kind of weird because I would say that I conceded to myself that I had a problem, or I would have never gone looking for a solution. The problem and that I ran into was similar to you, Mark, is I went to AA. Man, I did not fit in. Everyone was old, like the way I am now. The only chicks in there were married to the old guys that were in there, and it's like, you know, they're talking about, I drank a half gallon of Kessler's a day. I'm like, fuck, I never drank a half gallon of Kessler's in a day. And I went in and out and in and out and in and out and in and out. And I knew that I should be doing something. I mean, I went to a bunch of NA meetings when I was at Impact House. And they were, at the time, should have been the guys for cocaine. But, you know, it was mostly people talked about heroin in there. And I just was like, no matter where I went, it just seemed like it wasn't working. And the fateful day came that I went into a Cocaine Anonymous meeting, and they did this reading called Who is an Addict? And it was like a bell went off in my head. I'm listening to it, and I'm like, oh shit. Oh, yeah. That was probably when I really, truly conceded my inner self that I knew that this was the right place. I'm like, this is it. This has got to be it, because I relate to every single thing they're saying.
What year was the Hope, Faith, and Courage book published?
I do not know.
I used to know that.
Because Who is an Addict was not read for years when CA started.
Well, and I didn't start going to CA. This would have been in 89. So I don't know.
Yeah.
But I seem to remember it as being said in there.
Maybe it wasn't part of the readings, but they were reading out of the book.
No, it was probably because it seemed at the time there was comebacks to it, but...
Then it would have been at that meeting, but... Huh.
Yeah.
I don't know. Marty's looking it up right now, though. He's going to let us know in a second.
Marty's on point.
Marty's searching the Googles.
Is that in that book?
Yeah.
Really?
That's where it comes from.
That's where it comes from.
Oh, I didn't even.
Really? Because every week I hear you on Thursday night go, we also read, Who is a Cocaine Addict, taken from the CA storybook, although you've taken that out now.
I never, that's not in the
Rocky Horror Picture version.
I was going to say, that's not in the.
1993.
I don't know.
You have a faulty memory.
Well, whatever it was, I heard the first time I was in there, I was like,
his memory's so good, he remembers shit that never even
happened.
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't know. But whatever it was I heard there, I was like, oh, shit, these are my guys.
I can't believe you don't remember that, because at that meeting, remember Mark railroaded it through, read the book. We read the book for a year and a half. We read it like three times.
Yeah. Wait. What do you mean railroaded it through? We took a group conscience.
Yes. We were thinking.
Passed anonymously.
Yes.
Yeah, here's Mark. You know, Bruce and I and Shelley,
we're thinking,
the people with the most time in this meeting, were thinking that, you know, we haven't really read the book. It might be a great idea if we read the book. All in favor? Yeah.
Choo choo.
Chugga,
chugga, chugga, chugga, chugga, chugga.
So anyway,
it's all in how you word the group conscience.
So I think it was that I didn't hear Who is an Addict, but when I went to meetings where I had been at AA and guys were like, oh, I drank two-fifths a day, I'm hearing about people talking about, you know, they're pretty sure someone's outside, you know, they're shadow people, it's the grays, it's 4 a.m. and nobody wants you to call, you know, and everything that I heard I related to.
This is the best day of my life.
Why?
Because I related to stuff I heard in CA?
No, because now I actually have proof that Bruce does not always remember things exactly the way they happen, the way he always says he does. Ha!
It's okay.
We've got proof.
Wow.
Yes.
Okay, so instead of who is an addict, I heard people sharing. Yeah. And that's what I related
so
to.
So happy.
But eventually you heard who is
but
an addict.
But you got to remember, I was a drug addict back then. I had like one day sober. How can you expect me to remember anything?
I don't.
Well, I remember that I related for the first time ever because I never related in AA. I never related in NA. I'd hear guys in NA and I got what they were talking about. They're like, well, you just think cocaine when they're talking. And I'm like, well, that's great. But you guys are talking about heroin. And it's like, people that are talking about heroin, they're talking about getting well. I mean, these guys are talking about they're in literal pain if they're not getting it. You know, I'm like, I just didn't get that. You know, I had a really hard time tuning into that. But when I hear people talking about cocaine and the paranoia and the I got to have more right now, that was – I couldn't delude myself anymore. There was no delusion that right. wasn't me. It had to be
well,
me. That
let
was
me,
me.
Let me ask you, because on the topic, is there any way it would be possible if you did concede to your innermost self that you were an addict or alcoholic – that you could ever get loaded again?
Ever get loaded again?
Or isn't that the ultimate surrender step, the ultimate first step, when you concede to your innermost self? Isn't that part of it? Wouldn't that be a result of the thoroughness of the first step?
Well, yeah. Because
if I fully concede into myself, or I have now told myself the truth that I am an addict and alcoholic, how can I get loaded again?
Oh, really easy. Just pick up a drink.
But then have you conceded that to your innermost self if you go back
well,
out?
Well, I'll give you an example. And a thing that happens, I think, a lot specifically to addicts. I'm sure there are a zillion guys that will sit there. We know one. Our good friend David. David will say, I'm a freaking coke addict, man. I am a blown out man. When you give me crack, I'm done.
And has he done coke since then?
No, but okay. He's also not sober. You know, because just because he knows he's a coke addict doesn't mean he's given up everything. He'll have a drink once in a while.
I'm
he'll
not talking
smoke
about giving
weed
up
once
everything.
In a while.
I'm talking, if you, like, I have, I feel conceited to my innermost self, I am an addict.
Yes.
That I can get into anything and do it excessively.
Yes.
Except for food. I have great control there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, of course you do.
So. And, you know, but Dave admitted to himself he was addicted to cocaine, very specific about it, and he admitted it to his innermost self, and he hasn't touched it since.
But he has gotten sober from all things a few times and just doesn't seem to be able to stay off the other things. But he's quick to mention, you know what? And you know, I can't fault him for it. I really can't. It's like he smokes weed.
Yeah.
And he's like, I haven't smoked crack cocaine in 9 years because when I do that, everything in my life goes completely ballistic. And he's like, that's why you don't see me share and you don't see me take chips because I don't deserve a chip because I'm not really sober. But he knows he's an addict.
He knows he's a cocaine addict.
Well, he knows he's a cocaine addict. But the fact that he's tried to stay sober off everything leads me to believe he probably is pretty sure he's an addict all over. He wouldn't have a problem with taking a chip. No. What do you think, Shelley? Is there too much you must sum up?
There is too much I must sum up. I think it would be very easy. I didn't care because I hadn't gotten to a point of acceptance that my life was also unmanageable.
Then you hadn't gone to your innermost self.
Oh, no, I knew I was an alcoholic, and I knew that no matter what, if I took a drink, I had no idea what was going to happen after that. And I didn't care. That was the point. I didn't care.
So you knew
care.
It.
I knew it. I just didn't care. And then... Because part of the main reason why I drank was not, you know, I hear a lot, many people actually say that they drink because they became acceptable to other people. It made them fit in. It made them feel, you know, like they were part
the
of.
Effect.
They liked the effect. For me, I drank to get away from the fact that I knew I was an alcoholic. Because I disappeared. I disappeared. If I drank enough, I disappeared, which was all I ever wanted to do, was to disappear. And so if I did anything about the fact that I was an alcoholic, I couldn't disappear anymore. So it was like an endless loop. I just kept going around and around and around in a circle.
So that,
and even when I finally did get sober, I actually originally the reason why I did it was to get Bruce to shut up. Mm-hmm. To put the,
I don't know why.
To put the put on a facade of yes, I am sober, so that I could secretly go back out and disappear again.
So,
and it just didn't work out that way. I ended up staying sober.
So for you, the thing was, you could admit to yourself you were an alcoholic.
And it was tearing me apart.
And
because
you,
I knew
you,
I was. Even
knew,
when I was dry.
You knew you were an alcoholic, but you didn't have any desire to stay.
No, and it was tearing me apart emotionally because I knew I was an alcoholic. And every single day it was like a major control thing. Because even when I was dry and I wasn't drinking, I went through years where I wasn't drinking. But every day it was about how much control I could have over myself. And then when my next binge would start, the relief was intense because I could finally disappear again. So knowing that I was an alcoholic and refusing to do anything about it created all kinds of chaos.
Well, you know, and when I think about it, I remember when I was getting loaded. Near the end, when I mean, even when I had gone in and out of program, you know, 100 times. You know, I said, you know, maybe I admitted to myself truly. But you know what? I remember sitting around and arguing with myself. I'm like, you know, I've got this money and it's really for rent. But you know what? If I buy this quarter ounce, I can cut it some and I can do something. I can sell the rest of it and I'll get the money for my rent. And then I would argue with myself. I'd say, but you know you're really not going to do that. You know what's going to happen is you're going to do it. And then you're going to do it, and you're going to do it, and you're going to do it, and you're going to cut the shit out of the stuff until you have enough to make your rent. And then you're going to end up doing the stuff you made that was really bogus. And then what's going to happen? I'm going to sit up all night, and I'm going to, you know, and then I'm going to start trading shit for my room, and I'm going to do all. And I'd be like, you cannot do this. And then I turn around and do it anyway. It's like, so even though I knew I was an addict. I knew that if I did this was going to happen. And I do it anyway.
Like I always said, the addict's definition of insanity.
Doing the same thing over and over again and knowing the result will be the same.
And doing it anyway.
I used to tell people that. They'd be like, oh, you know, the problem with alcoholics, they do the same thing over and over again, expecting different results. I'm like, I didn't even expect different results.
I knew exactly what was going to happen. I still did it.
And when I look at it now and I look back in the in the theme of this discussion, I fully understood and internalized I was a dope fiend. I mean, I knew ahead of time it wasn't going to be any different, but I wasn't, like Shelley said, I wasn't willing to stop it at that point.
I lived in a huge state of denial. I always knew I'd figure out some way afterwards to make it all work.
You know, it's weird. When I was young in the program, I always knew I was going to make it. I really did. I used to, you know, even though I was going in and out and, you know, people were stopping helping me because they're like, look, dude, I've helped you 57 times before. Yeah. I'd be like, you don't get it. I'm going to get sober. I'm going to stay sober. And they're like, yeah, well, you're not showing a lot of evidence
just
of that
not
right
yet.
Now. Yeah. That was it.
Just not for today.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, to quote in anything.
Yeah.
What Shelley's stewing on something right now.
We're the only people. We can lie to ourselves all day long, but the truth is always there, and one of the reasons I kept drinking was because I wanted to get away from the truth. I knew it was there, and it was always in my head. It was always there.
Don't we have the...
just wasn't willing to change.
And don't we have the thing with step one anyway? Because when I admitted I was an alcoholic, or I admitted I was an addict, and I admitted my life was unmanageable way before I ever got sober because I knew my life was fucked up. I knew it.
Well,
I just wasn't willing to do anything about it.
That maybe there are two parts to this concession. There's the concession to your innermost self. Then there's the willingness to put the concession into action.
Yeah, get off your ass and do something.
Part do?
You know what you need to do.
Did that one.
I know.
Put
that's
one
what
up.
I'm saying.
Just put up today.
You know what you need to do.
Not put up yesterday.
Yesterday, yeah.
Hmm. So, well, in that case, Mark, final words. Epic pause.
When I admitted to my innermost self that I was, in fact, a drug addict, I was able to hear and accept the things in the program I needed to hear.
There you go. My admission and understanding to myself that I was an addict, just kind of sat there and stewed in the back of my mind until I was willing to do something about it. Shelley?
Yes?
We have friends in the Inland Empire and back east.
If you go to 12stepgazette.com and step12magazine.com, you can read the Southern California edition of that fine newsletter and read all the interesting articles and subscribe to those publications.
Mark, we have a sponsor who's actually, by the way, is having an event coming up on the 30th of the month on Saturday.
At my 12-step store?
Halt. Yes. They're doing Halt. Don't get too hungry, angry, lonely, and tired granola. Apparently, they have Halt granola for sale now. But they're going to have an event on the 30th. You can look that up on their Facebook.
I understand the hungry part with the granola.
Well,
so you won't be angry anymore because you've eaten it?
Apparently, the granola is going to save
lonely,
you from the anger.
Are there hookers selling it?
No, but you can share it.
Well, and you can go down there and get it where all these festivities is happening, so you won't be lonely.
That would tire me the shit out.
No, give you energy, and then you won't be tired.
Right, the granola is going to
okay, good. We figured
up.
It out. All right, it works. So my 12stepstore.com.
.com.
You go up online and find. They have cool stuff.
Bling.
They have cool stuff. They got swag. And you can go up and you can find the recovery-themed merchandise you would like, such as?
Amendments. Resentments.
Yep. And so anyway, so go check it out. Go support those who support us.
Yeah, it's awesome, awesome place. It's in West Hollywood.
And the event's on the 29th?
30th.
It's 30th. On the 30th.
30th, okay.
It's on the 30th.
At noon?
On Saturday the 30th. It is at noon, yes.
This will have already it will already been over by the time this show comes up, I believe.
No, because we're going to make sure this show goes up.
Awesome.
That's awesome. If you are Facebook friendly, it's real easy to join Podomatic. Just go to recovery101.net. Things are going to come up. Says you want to join with Podomatic. You say yes. That'll probably happen if you try and like or comment a show. You can, if you are Facebook friendly, you can like the Recovery 101 Radio Show fan page. If you'd like to be secretive about your recovery online, like you don't want prying eyes from work or family to see, you can join the Recovery 101 secret group.
Shh.
It's kind of difficult to find because it's a secret group. So if you do a search for it, if you do a search for Recovery 101 Radio, you will find the fan show page, but you will not find the other one. So you need to ask one of us. You can message Shelley Burnett or Bruce Burnett or Bill Piper, and we will add you to that group, and then you can be all secret agent man about your recovery online. We have an email address at recovery101radio@gmail.com. If you are an entertainer in recovery and you do comedy or you do music and you'd like us to use
mime.
Your stuff as lead out, yeah, no mimes, I don't think, because that's really boring on the radio.
I think that I would like to see that.
Just complete,
how about hear it, though?
Complete silence at the end of the show. We're like, thank you, Marcel.
Yes. Why is that the only mime anybody knows?
That's because he's the only one that anybody knows. I mean, I saw him once, actually, which is a lot better than listening to him on the radio.
Yeah.
Let's see. But anyway, if you do that, you can send us an MP3 of your performance, whether it's comedy or music or whatever. We will play it at the end of the show as lead-out stuff like we're going to do with one tonight. You should also give us
radio.
A couple MP3s, give us an image that we can turn into a clickable link, and give us a target location that you would like that image to go, whether it's Facebook or YouTube or a place where you sell your music or comedy or whatever. We'll be happy to do that for free and for fun. We've got videos at youtube.com/easylook. In youtube.com/recovery101rule62.
Do not take yourself so damn seriously.
We certainly do not, Shelly. Who's the lead out music by? Amp. He might be doing a jingle for us. That would be cool. Everybody, try and leave it better than you found it and be the example.
We're out.
I just ask, can you listen? I just got to get this off my chest. This is killing me. It's killing me.
GloryMusic.com.
I ask you to hear me out. My hands up. I'm cleaning out my closet. My life, I lost it. people that need you. Cause I know I did, and I still do. I'm talking to that thief, I'm talking to that liar, I'm talking to that person walking in hell and fire. I'm talking to the kids that see nothing but violence. I'm talking to that addict, problems inside them. I'm talking to you, AMP. You's a thief, you's a liar, a G walking in hell and fire. You're an alcoholic that just knows violence. Come help me, Lord, my mind won't be quiet. I pray to the Lord that he keeps my soul, Lord. I know the saying, you reap what you sow. I am a sinner, I will change the day. I will not be who I was yesterday.
Come on!
I pray to the Lord that he keeps my soul, Lord. I know the saying, you reap what you sow.
Preach.
I am a sinner, I will change the day. Lord, come and take me and show me the way. First off, I apologize to everyone I hurt in my life. Alcohol, sex, drugs, I have no excuses, that's just what it was. I hurt some of my family, I hurt some of my friends, I hurt so many women, I can't begin. I was engaged, I was the reason it ended. Pistol in my hand, my life almost ended. I seen that devil, he looked at me back. Liquor bottle in hand, I was not looking back. Thank you to DJ, thank you to April. The Lord sent you both from heaven to come save me. Hope my words touch, hope my words reach you. I am not perfect, I make mistakes. I'm determined to be someone different today. AMP will change his mindset and ways
today.
I pray to the Lord that he keeps my soul, Lord. I know the saying, you reap what you sow. I am a sinner, I will change the day. I will not be who I was yesterday.
Come on!
I pray to the Lord that he keeps my soul.
Lord,
I know the saying, you reap what you sow.
Preach.
I am a sinner, I will change the day. Lord, come and take me and show me the way.
Hear me?
I pray to the Lord.
Lord,
I know the saying, I am a sinner. I will not be who I was yesterday.
Come on!
That he keeps my soul,
Lord.
You reap what you sow.
Preach.
I will change the day. Lord, come and take me and show me the way.
That's not my whole story. It's some of it, and I hope I was able to help somebody. May God bless you.